Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Joining us now is TD Teron Davenport. TD, I hope you had a nice and relaxing bye week, but back in action this week against the Atlanta Falcons. We heard over the weekend that we could likely expect Ryan Tannehill to be out week 8 against the Falcons. Both Malik and Will Levis are preparing as the starters. What do you expect to see? What do you hope to see from these quarterbacks this weekend?
Yeah, I think really what you expect to see is heavy reliance on Derrick Henry and the rushing attack and just some quick passing game. I'm actually, for Whiteboard Wednesday, I'm going to draw up something with DeAndre Hopkins that I noticed the Titans have been doing, and they're going to need to do a little more of that. So just things to make it easier for them, you know, whether it's Levis or Willis, you know, rollouts, half-field reads, and flooding a side of the field and just letting them high-low and see what works.
How do you think they're going to balance these quarterbacks? Are we going to see like what we saw in the first preseason game where it was switching on and off, maybe not one quarter and then the other quarter, switching on and off? Is it one guy gets the nod with a short leash, or is it one guy gets the start and it's his job to lose? What do you feel we might see this weekend?
Yeah, I think the last thing you said is what we'll see. I believe that Willis will get the start, but I have a feeling that leash is going to be short if he does get the start. And we've seen a lot from Willis, right? And when you look at just the hesitancy to throw the football and just kind of seeing it but not believing it, that's something that, if you remember, Marcus Mariota had an issue with it, and Mike Vrabel had a short patience level with that. So I would imagine if that's something that he sees from Willis, you know, then Levis would go in. You just have to be really careful just as far as like walking that fine line, whereas you don't put Levis in a situation where it could damage him long term. We know that he is the long term option.
And on that point, TD, sorry, DeMace, go ahead. That's something that we've talked about. And one of my apprehensions of putting Will Levis in there is, look, he's the future of your organization. This offensive line has struggled protecting the quarterback all season long. How much do you believe in, for lack of a better word, ruining the young quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is something to it. Obviously, a baptism by fire is something that could have one of two results, right? It could thrust you into a situation where it's like, all right, well, I done seen it all, been through it all, or it could put you in a situation where you're like, man, I ain't trying to be no parts of this. And I think when you look at, you know, Giovanni Camazzi, a guy back in the day from Hofstra that was the quarterback for the 49ers, they knew right away that he wasn't that guy. You know what I mean? And then on the opposing side of that Hall of Fame game back in the day, Tom Brady was the starter, and they knew right away that, hey, man, we got something. So it could give you one or two different results.
Yeah, it can, and we talked about that earlier, TD. How do you proceed if you're Mike Vrabel and his coaching staff with this situation? And my thought was, listen, you, because at this stage, and tell me if you believe this or not, because you've been at other teams and watched other teams, how they've sort of maneuvered with their quarterbacks, that if you put Levis in as the starter right now, I think there's a lot of pressure on him not to do anything wrong. And you may not get the quarterback that you want to get, as opposed to putting Willis out there and saying, you know, in your mind thinking, okay, if this thing isn't going right, now we can put Levis in and just tell him, play football. Don't worry about anything. Play football. Go out there, and we will discuss it after the game. We'll go over, you know, your minuses and you know, sort of talk about your pluses as well. But put you out there. After the you know, Willis didn't do much, if indeed that happens, but then putting Levis in a situation where just go and play, because to me, he's been through this before in Kentucky. I mean, he went from having a really good offensive coordinator to a bad one, and he struggled. But I don't think that damaged him as a football player, and I don't think it would damage him here if indeed you do put him in, if Willis can't, you know, do the things that you're asking him to do.
You know, that's exactly why I feel as though Willis should be the guy to go out there. Because let's say he goes out there and it doesn't go right, guess what, D-Mace? Mm-hmm. It can't get much worse than what you've mm-hmm. seen. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so now
yeah.
it's like, okay, you go out there, play ball, man. I know, you know, these are bad situations, but play ball, worst come to worst. Hey, you got number 10, just put the ball up there. He's down there somewhere. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you don't want to throw the youngster into the fire so right away, but you could allow him to go into a situation where it can only get better. And I think when you look at Levis, you know, I talked to him a bit, and one of the things I asked him was just about the patience, you know, and how he's processing everything. And I asked him if he ever thinks of Aaron Rodgers or any of those guys who had to sit a bit before they got the start. And he was like, man, look, you know, it just comes down to when I get my opportunity, I'll make the most of it. But until then, I'm just going to continue to come along. And, you know, fortunately for him, they're calling the things that they do on scout team the same as if it were Titans offense. So he's getting that little experience there, and he's just trying to work through it. And Mike Vrabel told him, okay, yeah, you know, the defense might want you to go here or there with the football, but you go where your reads take you. So he's getting those reps and things like that. So that's a positive.
You know, that is huge, because I can go back to my first few years in the NFL and you know, doing scout team with Neil O'Donnell. And, you know, just like you said, there's that circle around a guy that's supposed to get the ball. And Neil was like, don't worry about that circle. I may throw it to any one of y'all. So just go out there and play, get open, play, because I've been in this game long enough that I'm not just because that's not getting the defense prepared for things that can actually happen.
Right.
Is this game, TD, you believe, two things, two parts. Is this a game, a gut check for the defensive line, because they hadn't played particularly well the last two games in regards to stopping and run and getting to the quarterback? And is this a must win for the team, period, coming off a bye?
Man, listen, I'll answer that two-part. H-E, double hockey stick, yes, in both cases. You know, they have two or three QB hits in the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely have to get to the quarterback. And it is a must win for them, because it's just, okay, you go to 2-5, you have to. The Colts are playing really well. Yes, mm-hmm. they lost to the Browns, but Gardner Minshew and that offense did their thing. They just put up 30-plus. So I think when you look at it's a key game that they have to get. But then spinning it back to that defensive line, Jeffrey Simmons had some words, and they were the right words to say, right,
mm-hmm.
as far as a leader on the team saying, hey, look, man, you know, we got to figure out who wants to fight. You know, who's going to be able to stand up in the middle of this and take a stand. And I think, you know, it starts with him. And so I think, yeah, those guys up front, whether it's Nico Autry, Travis Gibson is a guy who's going to get more snaps, Harold Landry, they all, Arden Key, Tierre Tart, whenever he comes back, like they all need to really step up and make sure that it's established that, hey, look, man, defensively, things all start with that front, and that's the way we all thought it would be coming into this season, and they need to, you know, get back to that.
Now, do you see there being some changes in regards to the team? Do you see if there's will there be any movements? Because over the weekend, there's, and I'm sure you probably saw some of them, TD, and you probably talked to some people, that there were a few guys, names that came up in potential trades. Now, Donna Russini did report that, you know, when it comes to the young guys, Treylon Burks and the young guys, it's a no-no. But it wasn't like it was a no-no with anybody else. So do you see something potentially happening before the trade deadline?
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you, I think Kevin Byard is a name to watch. And listen, I'm going to be
Philly,
honest. Like,
Philly.
I stay objective, but like that one right there, like that would, my feelings would be hurt. I'm not going to lie. My feelings would be hurt. But they need a safety in Philly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, you look at that play Tyreek Hill had where he didn't have, you know, he caught the touchdown and Bradbury didn't have that help over top, right? Edmonds didn't get over in time. I think Byard makes that play. And so I think when you look at Howie Roseman and just his propensity for adding top-level players, I guarantee you he is in Rand Carthon's ear like, hey, man, you know, I want Kevin Byard. He was born in Philly. I want to bring him home, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one. And, I mean, I don't know who – there's obviously a lot of teams that would be interested in Derrick Henry. That's another one that would hurt me, but – I don't know who but and what the conversation would be, but those are the top names. I think Nico Autry is a guy you got to consider because you could never have enough pass rushers. So you look at different teams that need guys that can impact the quarterback. He's another one.
You'd be hurt. I'd be hurt. I think this whole fan base would be hurt. I mean, Kevin Byard is the heart and soul of this organization. But if the Titans do decide to trade Kevin Byard or Danico Autry, do you view that as the Titans waving the white flag on the season?
Absolutely, yes. You start getting rid of you start becoming a seller and not a buyer. You are waving the red flag, the white flag rather, and that's why I don't think this team does much because look at 2-4, they're two games behind Jacksonville, and I know the Jaguars dominated the Saints, but they still have two games against the Jaguars, and they also have a bunch of games remaining against the AFC South division. You look at this Titans team, Mike Vrabel, when he was asked about the identity, what did he say? We'll never give up. We're always going to fight. Well, at 2-4, they feel they're still in it. How many times have you heard Kevin Byard bring up the fact that they were 2-4 in 2019 and made the AFC championship game? How many times have you heard Azeez Al-Shaair say, hey, you know what? I was on a 49ers team that was 3-5, and they went to the NFC championship game.
Yeah.
So for me, when I look at this, I don't think that they're going to be sellers because they firmly believe that they're still within the race. And honestly, you look at this, they go out and beat the Falcons, right? Now they're 3-4, and I tell you what, things actually look pretty good for them.
How much do you think the Titans' plans at the trade deadline lie on this game against Atlanta?
Wow, I think a lot of it lies on that because, I mean, look, 3-4 as opposed to 2-5, like there's, it's one game, but there's a big difference as far as the mindset and the mentality when you look at that. And guess what? By the way, last year Jacksonville was 2-5. The Titans were 4-2, and we know what happened as a result. Now, obviously, the Titans had a huge slide and a bunch of other things happened, but you got to remember this team has 6 out of the remaining 11 games at home, right? And then you're looking at road games against Houston, road games against Jacksonville. You know, Pittsburgh's going to be I don't even know what the word
is. It's going to be a tough one.
Bloodbath. Yeah, but outside of that, I mean, there's a lot of games that are very winnable for this team, so they can turn it around.
What did you make of this week? Just saying AFC South. Now, I know Houston, they didn't play, and obviously the Titans didn't. But I was listening to the telecast with the Browns and the Indianapolis Colts. It was some bad calls in that game, but I digress. And they were talking about how Coach Stefanski, I believe that's Cleveland's coach.
Yeah.
He talked about how critical it was for them to get a win going into the bye week. And for whatever, you know, we can say the refs, you know, it was just bad calls toward the end of the game, but they got that win. But it doesn't take away, like you said earlier, that Indianapolis Colts, they were the first team that I saw this season run the ball down Cleveland's throat with nobody being injured on Cleveland's side. And they just ran with Jonathan Taylor as well as Moss. What do you think of after this weekend? What do you think of that division? Jacksonville won Thursday prior to the weekend's game. What do you think about those two teams in this division?
Yeah, it's funny how this game
and Indianapolis is playing better on defense. Shaq Leonard is back, and Franklin is a beast.
Big factor. Franklin has about 17,044 tackles this year. But no, it's you know when you look at this, it's just so interesting. It makes me think of Al Pacino's speech in Any Given Sunday, where he said like, "You claw for that inch," and how football is a game of inches. Imagine if Foster Moreau catches that pass, right in his hands,
poor thing.
Things are totally, totally different. And for me, like when I look back on that Saints game, it's one that the Saints should have won, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't, obviously, and a winner's a win. It's not the Jaguars are where they are. I think when you look at the Colts, though, the fact that they were able to establish something on the offense against a Browns defense led by Jim Schwartz that has been just total dominance is a big thing. But overall, this division is still winnable because the Titans have, like I said, they have X amount of game. What is it, six more games, I think it is, against the division, right? You got two against the Jaguars, two against the Texans, so five, one against the Colts. So there's a lot of movement that could go on. And here's the thing. All you got to do is win that division. You get in a dance, and it's, man, I mean, we've seen 2019. Once you get in a division, if you're hot, once you get in the playoffs, there's a lot that could happen. And I that's why I think they hold on to Derrick Henry, because he's one of those guys, right, where he could turn back the clock, and next thing you know, you're seeing a guy that you saw back in 19 and 20 and 21 before he was hurt. You're seeing a guy dominate, and this team can ride that type of wave. So I think there's still a chance. I mean, I'm not trying to sell false hope. I'm just selling, you know, what I've seen this team do before. So the division, in my opinion, is still wide open.
Make me believe. My glass is half full.
Season tickets are available now. Now, please, I want a credit for whatever tickets you sell.
TD, Teron Davenport is with us. TD, we did this last week, and I want to get your perspective on it. Report card for both Shane Bowen and Tim Kelly through six games so far.
Ooh, yeah, good question. I'm actually doing a post on Derrick Henry and just kind of stating a case for him being in the Hall of Fame this week. And I think when you look at it, look, man, it's a crude formula, but their two wins, Derrick Henry has gotten the ball 20 times at least.
Yeah.
So for me, when I look at it, and there's obviously a lot of other factors, but you got to give. And it's something that Tim Kelly said before the season started. He said he would be a fool to not lose track of what this team does best. And what they do best is give the ball to number 22. And all that I say to say this, they have to find more ways to get Derrick Henry to football. And to me, like, it all revolves around that. Because if you get Derrick Henry effective, everything else plays off of that. I talked to Ben Jones this morning, and he said that, you know, as an offense, you want to run the football, but once you get Derrick Henry going, everything stems from that. He's the nucleus, and Ben Jones is 100% right. Even though he's not in the building, he's 100% right. And I think Tim Kelly has to find ways to reestablish Derrick Henry. And I love Tajay Spears. I think what he's done has been very effective, very, you know, respective, but you have to find ways to focus on Derrick Henry and play off of that. So my report card for Tim Kelly to this point is less than satisfactory because they haven't consistently done that. As far as Shane Bowen is concerned, look, the explosive plays that they continue to give up, it's a tough situation for them.
Yeah.
They have to figure out how up front. And I've seen Shane Bowen dial up blitzes, whether it's Roger McCreary, Kevin Byard, whoever they have. They're blitzing them and trying to find ways to get more pressure. But what happened to those days of last year and the year before where they were able to get pressure with the four up front and drop seven into covers? They have to figure out how to get back to that.
Without Harold Landry.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure out something in this span. And, you know, to what you were saying, TD, there's going to be more 1 or 2 yard gains than there are 10, 15, 20-yard gains.
Yeah.
But they just got to find a way to stick with it. You know, which means a lot of what you're doing hinges on whether the defense is able to hold up or not. And I frankly, right now, I'm worried. I really am with that defensive line. I think they could turn it around, but man, oh man, I'm worried about, you know, can they be that defense they have been and carry this team like they have you know, for the last couple of years? Are they still that defense as guys start to age?
That's a great point. And I think, you know, Arden Key, I think he is, for lack of a better term, he is the key to what they can do up front. And he's a guy that has been so disruptive throughout his career. And if you get that guy to be able to have that impact from the outside, I mean, look, man, Jeffrey Simmons, he continues to be one of the most double-team players in the league. So when he's drawing that double team, you got that one-on-one between you and the tackle. Look, man, time to win. And I think that's, you know, a message that has to be delivered to Arden Key, to Harold Landry, Travis Gibson when he's in. And it's just one of those things where guys have to step up because Simmons is drawing all of the attention in the middle, and somebody else has to step up and be that difference maker.
With Bijan Robinson coming into town, a little bit nervous. Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
Is so
Kyle Pitts,
they better,
too.
They better hope Bijan Robinson is not having a day where he doesn't feel good like he did yesterday in Tampa. I would imagine he's looking to rebound from that.
Another Le'Veon Bell.
3 yards.
Another Le'Veon Bell performance from yet another opposing running back. With TD, Teron Davenport, appreciate you for joining us. Looking forward to your new piece on Derrick Henry coming out here soon.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you. Take care.
Awesome. Thanks, TD. The absolute best, Teron Davenport. We'll react to what TD had to say there. Plus, you mentioned it, D-May, some reports coming out about some calls that the Titans have received. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.